Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form 10 Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Well, mahalo, everybody. Aloha. And thank you, John Chung, for always announcing and protecting the history, one warrior at a time. That's what we do with you, John. I love you, John Chung. You're such a great guy. Now, tonight we have a very, very special show because my co-host, he's a Tang Suzo guy, and we got two Tang Suzo people will be on the show tonight. But before we introduce them, I always like to talk about my producer, Auntie Jesse Bowen. He is an incredible man. I want to talk to him about, well, a couple of things. One thing I'm excited that we're going to, well, I'll let him explain it. Auntie, are you there, sir?
Hey, sir. How you doing?
Well, I'm excited about what you told me today about we're going to be in countries all around the world. We got a podcast with Apple. Explain what's going on with the news, the radio show now. It's real exciting.
Well, yeah, we are actually, you know, we started back here several months of taking the replay, or as the show plays and replaying it back on our podcast. So now, you know, you can go to Anchor, or if you have an Apple phone, you can actually just Google the show, Google your name, Google my name, you know, in your search on your iPhone. But not only there, you can put the Anchor, which is our main program, app on your phone, and you can follow our program. So it can be right there. And we really want people, if, you know, if martial artists, if you, you know, really support the program and everything's going on, you know, go and follow us. And when you go and follow us, you know, you won't be going to the blog radio show, and that is the AMAA, Martial Arts Masters Blog Radio Show. And you want to follow us so that anytime that, Professor, that you're going on, or any of our other guests, Karen, Willie, or anybody that's coming on, then you know about it. But, yeah, the podcast is going to be on 8 different platforms and will be broadcasting to 7 different countries. So we'll be able to see how many plays actually come back on that. We also have the opportunity there to actually do commercials on there. So we are looking for people that would like to, you know, support what we're doing. It goes through our American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation. So we are a non-profit organization. And so if you, you know, believe in what we're doing and want support, this is that great time for you to be able to do that. So we can, you know, keep the show going. A lot of very interesting topics are going on, but, you know, just that's what we're doing. We're just trying to give back.
Well, it's exciting, but, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you got to come to Houston, and we did our debut of our history journal. But you've got a new book coming out here in less than 20 days. I think it's Mr. Goldberg's book and Willie the Band's book. Talk about that a little bit.
Okay, yeah, we just, you know, we are now we're in the process of continuing to try to, you know, market and getting people to know about sport karate. So that event is not over. And so especially if you are a history general and you're involved in the book, you know, we really want you to support it. But, yeah, we have 2 other projects that's coming out in January, and we're really super excited about producing the first kid's biography book. And the book is called Heroes. And our kids have gone through so much with the pandemic. They had to teach their parents about how to do Zoom online. And you know, they have lost so much in this past year. So we decided, since Willie already has the Choice Awards, is to go ahead and do a biography book. And what we're going to be doing is actually giving educational scholarship dollars to at least two to four winners will receive a $500 educational scholarship. But again, we're trying to really reinforce martial arts and getting people to take pride in being a martial artist. And this is what we want to accomplish through our book, is that, you know, giving those kids that opportunity to see where they are now, and then 5 or 10 years, they can look back and see how much they've actually grown in the martial arts. So we're really excited about that particular project. And, of course, you know, we have The Power to Live Your Vision, and, you know, we have several other people that we're, you know, producing their books. And if you haven't checked out Dr. Williams' book, More Than a Martial Artist, that's a very inspiring book. You know, we'll probably later on this year become an audio book also. But, you know, I just released my first Christian book called God Gives Me Vision. And so, you know, we just got a lot of positive things that we're trying to, you know, bring to the martial arts world, bring to the world, you know, ways that we can become better.
Well, Elite Publications is very powerful. How would people get in contact with the Elite Publications to be interested maybe in their story or getting you to help them learn about becoming a publisher, or not publisher, but a author?
Well, yes, sir, and the publisher, you know, my focus is coaching and taking the success that we've had and, you know, duplicating that success. So if anyone is interested in, you know, publishing a book or thinking about, you know, publishing a book, they can just give me a call at 919-618-8075. They can also visit our website, which is Elite Publications, that's with an S, .org, and there's information there. And everybody's got a story, and right now is one of the best times in our history. You know, we're at, to the coronavirus, we've lost over 700,000 people. Your story, who we are right now, sharing that with you. If it's nothing but sharing it with your grandkids, you writing your story, telling about your life, you know, that's that marker, that footprint in the sand. This is what we're helping people to do. And, you know, Professor, you know, we're very grateful for all the martial artists that entrusted us to produce their bios in the book. But, you know, really we'd like to, you know, we've been able to monetize that, but we really want to help them to be able to monetize their own story, get it out in the community, get it out in the world, because, you know, just reading a motivational story about how martial arts has changed someone's life, you know, that can be a real big inspiration to someone searching for, you know, something empowering to make a difference in their life. When they find out that we have overcome bullying, self-confidence issues, and all of that, then they may decide to become martial artists themselves.
Well, big inspiration, but I've got to talk about this. I'm really excited. And I talked to Mike Stone about it today. The online store with the hoodies and the T-shirts and the merchandising now for the Sport Crime Museum. Talk a little bit about that. About the, how to get on the online store.
Yeah, well, basically, you know, just going back to our website and just going at, and that was the Sport Karate Museum historybook.com. And there you can click on, and we've got T-shirts, we've got hoodies, we've got cups, you know, that memorabilia. You know, if you were in the book, you'd remember that event. We're actually going to give everyone that was in the book a e-certificate, you know, certifying them as being in the book. So we still have several things going on with that, and we're going to be sending out that information probably within that next week. So, yeah, go back. That page is going to stay up, and people can go, and they can purchase books. They can, you know, next week the book will become an e-book. So you can download it on your cell phone, and you can have it with you all the time. So you
Christmas,
can share it with your family
Christmas
friends that as an e-book.
Well, people to remember us for Christmas. The holidays
yeah.
are right around the corner.
Well, it's a powerful book, sir. I mean, it's a really, you know, really impressive book, and actually it's being nominated for several publishing awards and for biography awards. So, you know, the Chuck Norris book just won the International Impact Award. So, you know, this book has been nominated now, and it has two nominations out there for Author Award and Biography Award. So, I mean, you know, these are powerful stories, and they can make a difference if, you know, the martial arts community would just share it.
Yes, sir. You're an amazing man, Hachi Justin Bowen, and I find it fascinating how you can work so hard to make something happen for so many people. And I've learned so much in these past 8 years from your vision and your motivation to help people be motivated in your podcast, in the books, and everything. So I want to say thank you publicly to the world now that we're across the world. Golly, Bob, that is so exciting. So I want you to have a great weekend. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you real soon, sir.
Hey, thank you, sir. And like I said, you know, it's believing in what you're doing, believing in sport karate, and believing in the martial arts. You know, not about me, but as I said, it's for the footprint in the sand for those that come after us.
Yes, sir. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Hachi Justin Bowen, the producer of Parts Unknown, the radio show. We've been on the air now for golly about 8 years in front of over 13,000 people and now in front of the world. How exciting is that? So that's exciting. So now I introduce two guys that put up with me every week. First of all, my student, Mr. Dean Piles. Are you there, Dean? Dean, you're going to make me holler for you. Dean?
Yeah. I'm here.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey,
doing good.
Well, you know, I know you knock people out on Tuesday night, but just stay close because we got a great show tonight. Where's my other show?
Yeah, with
AJ Perry, you there?
How are you, Professor?
Hey, I'm doing good, AJ. You and Dean, I can't do it without you. God bless you guys. Well, we got a great show tonight, guys. And AJ, you too. Because we got two special guests. One is Eric Ross, and the other guest, I want to say her name right, help me, Lisa Dijek, is that right?
Zike.
Okay. Hey, Lisa. That's Zike. Right there. Yep. Hi, Lisa. Are you there, Lisa?
I am here, sir.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the show. How about Eric?
Thank you.
You there?
I'm here, sir.
Hey, Eric. Welcome to live radio. Well, I tell you what, Eric.
Well, thank you, sir.
AJ, I'm going to let Eric go first, but I want you guys to introduce Lisa properly. So, Eric, tell me about Lisa a little bit.
Lisa and I have been soulmates and training together since 2006, 2007, sir, and she's more than just a training partner. She is a sister to me.
Okay, well, I understand that, but tell me a little about her martial art history.
Lisa is a sport karate champion, weapons fighting forms in her early days. She received her third Dan under the late great grandmaster, Jae Joon Kim. She received her fifth Dan under our grandmaster, James Sapold. She is a blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, I know Jay. He's a great guy, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We couldn't ask for a better grandmaster. Grandmaster of the American Kwan, Tung Sudo Federation. And we are very blessed to have him as a leader.
Cool. Okay. Stop there, Eric. I'm going to let AJ talk a little bit. AJ, tell me about Lisa a little bit.
I remember Lisa from tournaments, and she was a little fighter. And she not only did great at, you know, I don't want to say karate tournaments, kung fu tournaments, but she expanded into MMA, jiu-jitsu. So she's got a really nice background in martial art. Very, very well-rounded.
Tell me about Eric. You know Eric pretty well, too. Tell me about Eric a little bit.
Eric is very, very feisty. And
thank you, sir.
He's had, you know, some ups and downs the past couple of years. He had a terrible car accident. I hope you don't mind me saying that, Eric. And,
no, sir, not at all.
But he keeps fighting. been going through rehab. And, you know, I got to take my hat off to him because he's a real fighter.
Thank you, sir.
And that shows his martial arts spirit right there. And he's training Tang Sido for almost 30 years.
30,
wow.
1986 is when I started training, sir.
Right, right. So a little better. And very loyal, honorable man.
Cool. Thank you, sir.
Cool.
I take that. Thank you. That's very gracious,
AJ,
sir.
Thank you for that short introduction. And now let me go back to Eric and Lisa. Hey, first of all, I can call you guys Eric and Lisa without calling your last name, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Please.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that respect, sir.
We've done the show now for 8 years, and we interview people individually and ask them questions. And, you know, it's kind of fun, but I'm going to start off with Lisa because she's a lady. I always start with the lady. Now, we talked earlier today. You said you're around about 40, 45 years old. What did you say, 42?
42 to be exact, sir, yes.
Yes, ma'am. And you fought
you're,
in the
you're not supposed to ask a woman her age.
You fought in the... Shut up. Lisa,
he went there, sir.
The
it's all
right.
Good, guys. It's all good, guys. I'm good with it.
Oh, you don't understand.
To admit my
AJ is my favorite Yankee, so please understand that, okay?
How come you've been
down, Lisa? You fought in the 90s, correct?
Yes, sir. My martial arts career started when I was roughly around 8 years old, and I moved out of Detroit to the suburbs, and I needed a hobby, and I got this flyer in the mail from the school that I was attending that said, hey, take karate lessons, $4 a class. And I was like, hey, Mom, Dad, can I, like, hook this up? So, yeah, it dates back to the early 90s into probably the late 80s, to be exact, because I've
cool.
spent the better part of 35 years.
You lived in Detroit, so I got to ask you, you ever heard of Monster Man Everett Eddy, Dave Pram, Howard Jackson, or Richard Plowden, these guys?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. They are very prominent names in the martial arts community up here.
Well, Dave Pram and Howard Jackson, there were Tang Sido guys back in the day. And
mm-hmm.
I think Monster Man was, too, in the beginning.
He was.
You know, he was. Yeah, him and Johnny Lee, exactly. But Detroit has a rich, rich history in karate, I know. In fact, my adopted
yes,
son is from Detroit, Willie Hicks. You ever heard of Willie Hicks?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I adopted him about 15 years ago. now, in Detroit, do you have your own school, Lisa?
I did for many, many years. Unfortunately, I had to make a decision between being, you know, a faithful karate instructor that wanted to do the best for my students and staying broke because they wanted all the knowledge without paying, or I had to focus on my career. So, unfortunately, I did pass up on being a full-time instructor back in roughly about 2017 to focus on my accounting career, and that's an oxymoron in itself because accountants don't do karate.
Yeah, as a civilian, you're an accountant, right? Cool.
Hey,
yes,
Lisa?
Sir. Absolutely. Yes.
Lisa, that was a smart move because a lot of martial arts instructors retire poor.
I've heard this, and many of my counterparts have always said, hey, you know, you have to focus on, you can love the martial arts, but if you want to be a broke karate instructor for the rest of your life, that's great, and keep giving to the students, but at one point, where do you give back to yourself? So at this point in my life, I'm very much about my career, but the martial arts is still my first love. And it's still the first thing I would give back to any student that came up to me and said, hey, Master Zike, you still teaching? Let's do some private lessons. And I would give it to him tenfold.
And what she's
you're
humbly
funny,
not,
Lisa,
sir,
AJ,
can I interject here? What she's what she's humbly not saying is that I keep filtering her private students as I come along with them that are close to her, that are female, that are looking for the top-notch self-defense instructors. So she has a young lady named Paige right now that's knocking on her door. So she's humbly not mentioning things like that, sir.
Well, I want to say something. When I got on the plane from Hawaii when Bobby Lowe and the Sheriff's Institute put me on the plane to America. They told me a couple of things, but one thing I remember, they said, Gary, when you grow up, make sure you have a good doctor, a good lawyer, and a good accountant. So, those three things, I made sure I had all three things when I grew up. Because an accountant is very, very important. Yeah.
And, sir, she's my accountant, and she will wipe the floor with me. So I'm good on both ends.
Well, let's pick on you a little bit, Eric. Tell me about your background a little bit. How did you get started in karate?
Actually, I started in boxing, sir. And then that segued in 88 to taekwondo in the garage. I had a friend that was under one of the Yu brothers, and he was a second Don. And he trained me for several years before I went in the military. And I was introduced to Tung Su in hand-to-hand combat. Didn't even know that I was training in it. And in 1992, I started formally training with Dan Cousineau and Lapeer at Dragon Karate School. And I started realizing that some of the hand techniques that I was using were the same as I was taught. And I realized, wait a minute, this is the same as what I was taught, and I kind of fell in love with it all over again. And
well, let me ask
the love
you a
of
question, Eric, let me ask you a question since you've trained in Taekwondo and Tangsu. What is the difference between Taekwondo and Tangsudo?
You know, the garage training that I had wasn't as formal as I would have gotten in a Taekwondo school, so I'm not really qualified to answer that question, sir.
AJ, were you at AJ,
sir.
My Yankee friend? What's the difference between Tang Soo and Taekwondo?
Taekwondo forgot how to use her hands.
Don't
be
a smart butt. Tell me the real truth. What is the difference?
It is the truth. Well, it's when they form Taekwondo. When they formed Taekwondo, 80% of the instructors came out of Tangsudo Mudokwan.
Right.
80%. That's a fact.
Well, didn't Jun Rhee, when he came to America from Cheatham, when Cheatham brought him, you know, brought him to America, wasn't he teaching Tangsu instead of Taekwondo?
He was. And then he switched to the international style.
Right, right. See, that's important history. I believe that's important history. And
but he was
so the difference is you're saying that Taekwondo forgets to use their hands because it's 70% kicks, say 30% hands. Well, Taekwondo uses a lot of hands.
They use their hands, I don't say just as much as their feet, but they're more proficient with their hands.
Right.
I would like to interject on this because I had the opportunity in some of my earlier days of training when I had first gotten my second Dan back roughly, I think it was about 1996 that I got my second Dan, and I got a chance to train some cross training with some Taekwondo guys with my Tang Soo training. And
wait a
minute,
Lisa, did you just say
yes,
Taekwondo?
Yes, I did. I got to do a little bit of cross training. One of my instructors brought in some guys who were like,
I'm sorry. You didn't catch that, did
well,
you? I didn't say taekwondo.
I got it, Gary.
You went to the dark side for a minute, Lisa.
It's all good. It's all good.
I'm
but,
kidding.
I mean, at the
I'm
end
kidding.
Of the day, I look at the guys I got to cross train with, and they were probably 90% legs, 10% hands, and then when we went to a tournament to watch them compete, just to kind of see the differences between what it was we were doing at the time versus what they were doing, it was quite an educational experience because we were more the Tangsudo that I had originally gotten started with was a pretty, I would say, almost 50-50 mix, hands and feet, when we were competing. So to see such a diverse difference, Taekwondo was like, wow, these guys, this is, wow, as much as these guys were supposed to be our cousins to training, what a difference I saw between what it was they were doing versus us at the time. So,
right. That's a good point. By the way, Lisa, I'm just being a smart butt, but I don't mean to be saying, like, Taekwondo.
You know what? You guys rock it. Just rock it and have some fun. This is what this is all about. Let's share some martial arts history and enjoy.
Americans, you know, they use different terminology. And the funny part is that martial arts makes money. That's a business mm-hmm. we're in. So when they say Taekwondo, they're making fun of Taekwondo. And I wasn't being a smart aleck. I was just trying to funny that he said that.
No, that's probably part of like a weird like little ism in my accent of how I pronounce your thing. So don't
mind
me,
sound
everybody.
Like a Yankee. You're from Detroit, so you're what you call a Yankee, I'm sure.
I've been born and raised in the North my whole life, but you know what?
I said I loved AJ because AJ, he's one of my best friends, and it's just a terminology that I learned how to be different, I guess. I mean, it's like people call me, a slant-eyed Japanese-looking guy, even though I'm Hawaiian, for God's sake. Well, Eric, let's go back to you a minute. Did you compete before the car accident for your competitor?
Yes, sir. I got back into the competition. And actually, I was honored to have Grandmaster Perry. He judged me in Orlando. I'll let him tell you about it. I'd rather not talk about myself, tell you the truth.
If you were a competitor, that's all.
Did a great sword competition, and it was flawless.
Okay, cool. Now, you use a straight sword or a katana?
I use katana, sir. Yes, sir. Iojutsu. It was Iaido.
Cool.
Yes, sir.
I know, like, styles like Kusawan and whatever. They use a straight sword. And
oh, no, sir.
Japanese
no, sir.
Katana. Cool.
No,
cool.
This is a Japanese katana, sir.
Cool. Eric's...
Lisa, did you compete, too?
Gary.
What did you compete in weapons?
Gary, Eric's sword instructor just died maybe 3 weeks ago. I'll let him explain that.
Grandmaster Sanders.
Yes. Grandmaster Joseph Sanders, he passed, it was 3 or 4 weeks ago. Really accomplished man. Taekwondo ninth Dan. I believe, I'm not sure on his ranking in Hapkido, but he was up there in Hapkido. He was also ninth Dan in Iaijutsu with the sword. He was the founder and he owned the school.
So that's the man that taught you the sword?
Yes, sir.
Cool.
At 78 years old, he set a world record of 372 mats in 60 seconds with a katana. That's recorded for Guinness and everybody else. Amazing man.
I'm so sorry for your loss. Now,
he lived his life in a way, his memory, every time I think of him. The greatest story I can tell about the man, he used to sit in his chair at the end of his life, and he would sit there with his head down because he had stage 4 lung cancer and lymphatic cancer for the last 4 years of his life. And he would sit in his chair with his head down. You'd think that he was asleep because his eyes would be closed. He'd have his hat on and sunglasses. And I was 7 students out in a row. And as a sword man yourself, Professor Lee, you know that in order, especially with an Iaido, with an unsharpened blade, with practice swords, they're still folded steel. So they still, if you're doing your technique properly, they cut the air and they make a sound. I was doing a kiryoshi, which is an overhead cut, and the sword didn't sing. And he's asleep, to my knowledge. And there's 7 other people, 6 other people between me and him, so there's at least 30 feet between us. And I hear, Master Ross, kick your back heel off. You cut over your right eye. Do that kiryoshi again. Yes, sir. So I cut again. The sword sung. I'm thinking in my head, You were asleep. You didn't hear a sound from the sword. How in the heck did you know that my back heel wasn't kicked out? How did you know I cut over my right eye instead of straight down the middle? And if the sword didn't make a sound, how did you know it didn't make a sound? To this day, I still am shaking my head in disbelief that, one, I got caught, and two, every time I think of the man, I will smile and laugh at that memory. So I appreciate your condolences, but I will have good memories of him for the rest of my life.
Well,
just because
of that. Share that story. Thank you for sharing that story. Lisa, let me ask you again. You could beat weapons. Did you kata and fight, do all three?
Yes, sir. I have proficiently over the years that I competed, have always done forms, fighting, and weapons. My two proficient weapons would be with my bow and my tongue thrust. My bow would probably be my most proficient of weapons, and I have scored many a grand championship with my bojutsu skills. So I can walk away with a very high head with those skills
cool.
over the years. And with forms and fighting, you know, the best I can say is I've had the opportunity to compete against some of the best that Michigan had to offer. I've competed against some of the best across the nation over a very long period of martial arts. And I've had some great wins, some awesome grand championships. I've had a few losses, but at the end of the day, I've had the chance to hold my head high amongst some of the greats in the early days of female martial arts. So I would like to tip my hat to all the ladies from the late 80s into the early 90s who have helped forge the path for many of our females today.
You probably heard 2 weeks ago we honored the power of women, all the women across the country who contributed to martial arts. Okay,
yes, sir.
Eric and Lisa, don't go anywhere. We're going to do a couple of segments we got to take care of, but stay on the line. And I'm going to bring you back. We're going to play the Legends name game. Ladies, then we're talking to
Absolutely.
Lisa Dijek. Is that what I'm saying right? Is it Dijek or Dijek?
Silent D, sir. Zyke.
Dijek. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Lisa Dijek and Eric Roth. And we'll be back right back with these after we get done with our couple of segments. And I'm excited about this because I enjoy this part of this show. Now, we're going to start off with what we call the six. Now, the six is a group of people that we put together through the museum, and they have opinions. And tonight, our topic is very simple. You have first degree, second degree, third degree, fourth degree, fifth degree black belts, sixth degree, seventh degree, eighth degree, ninth degree, and tenth degree black belts. Well, what's the difference? Just between years or tenure or age? I don't know. I'm going to let the six talk about it. And the first person I wanted to bring on is one of my favorite women. And I could have chose any woman to give their opinions, but I asked this lady. Her name is Karen Slatcher. She's a former PKL champion. She trains in Shorinryu Karate and Kung Fu. And I don't hold that against her, I promise. But she's very well known in the community, and she's a Yankee, too. She's from New Jersey, but she lives in North Carolina now, and she's one of my favorite people. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm listening to my sister. Take them all to school over there. Good job.
There you go. Now, what is the difference you feel is between a first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth,
yeah.
ninth, tenth, three, blah, blah. What are the responsibilities? Not just age, but how do you feel about it?
I've been thinking about it all day. And, you know, I did the tournament circuit just like you did. And you see all kinds. And you see a lot of the upper-ranked masters. And I would say the one thing that really sets them apart, unless they come in with a posse and you can't get close to them and they're wearing some crazy outfit, most of the time, they are not really good examples, but the one that comes in that absolutely loves the kids and is open to talk to you, that's the man that has gravitas. That's the woman who has experience. who's really interested in the new people because they understand this is the future, and they still have something to teach, and they'll do the Grand Champion division if you want, but they're happy, and there's a lot of love and a lot of personal growth satisfaction. I think that's mainly what I think I see.
Good point. Well, I appreciate your opinion, Carrie. Now, moving right along, did Uncle Jerry call in yet? Uncle Jerry Smith? Okay. David Chambers, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Dean Chambers is a Golden Greek winner many times and also the president of the Amateur Organization of Karate. Now, his opinion is very, very important and powerful to the Texas community. So, D.E., how do you feel about, well, not feel, but what do you feel is the difference between a first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, or ninth degree black belt, or tenth degree black belt? Because I know you're around all different levels.
Well, I was initially taught that a black belt was somebody who just graduated high school and was time to start college. And he was then relearning. And then by the time you got to be a second degree, you was then qualified to teach by yourself. And then when we talked about the third and fourth was then when you were seasoned enough to actually then advise, you know, then start, you know, some of the other younger students to be someone that could be a leader there. Then when they started talking about fifth and above was when you were then able to talk to other, teach other black belts and teach, because you should have experience enough to be able to give wisdom. And then now when you pass seven, that then now you start talking about someone who hopefully have gave things to the community, have taught thousands of kids and individuals and made a difference in the community. People that said, well, when they look at that person, they can say, yes, I know he affected my life. Then by the time you get to ninth and tenth, I have no idea, sir, because I'm not there yet. So my point, hopefully by then God is blessing with that knowledge. But my mindset is that when you get to the high rank, it's mainly toward what have you done for individuals, community, what have you done for yourself as an individual and others. That difference should be able to be seen with or without your belt on. That's the difference.
Well, good point. Well, moving right along. AJ, where you at, buddy?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I love
okay,
your
what
answer,
do you
sir.
Feel? What is,
that was,
what is
that was a great,
buddy? What is
that was a great, that was a great contribution.
Thank you, sir.
To reiterate on that, I think between something like a first Don and a ninth Don is the comparison of a jack-in-a-box to a slow-burning candle. And you know, people that are, you know, lower ranked, they're more interested in, you know, their own training, their own learning, gaining knowledge. And by the time they get up in rank and seniority and age, you know, they're giving back to the community, and it's about how they've affected other people. So I don't even think you can compare the two.
Right. There is no comparison. You're right. That's a good point. Okay, moving right along. Did Uncle Jerry call on yet? He got on yet? Okay. How about Dean? Dean Piles?
Yes. Here, sir.
What do you feel the difference between a first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth degree black belt?
Well, you know, it's like Mr. Chambers said at first, but the main thing when you know, is that's correct the way they go. You know, you graduated high school, you're learning. You know, people that are that just get the black belt, they're excited about their skills, they're eager to work that. In our system, we don't let anybody teach on their own until they're a third degree. But, you know, a lot of systems are different. But as they move up, it's just like he was saying, you go through – and you're learning those different skill sets. But I say what separates in those higher levels is being able to understand, and we went over this tonight. Major Alvarez, when I was teaching on base one day, he said it's the ambiance of what you teach. And that is, my students will get mad because I will click them back, come back, come back, do that again. Now turn this much, nope, this much more. This, being able to pinpoint those techniques and an understanding so that those people can understand them, but yet also you can take those same techniques and work them, whether it be super slow or however, but it's the mind-body connection that you have with the techniques and the skills so that you can utilize every facet of your training by linking it all together with the understanding of how the body works, how the mind works, and how the techniques work, and putting them all together and being able to get someone else to understand that and be able to execute it in that same type of manner.
Well, that's very important. And you know, you sound very calm tonight. Thank you so much, Dean, for your opinion.
Well, I'm just calm for right now.
Professor Tom Spellman is in Iowa. He'll be on next week. And Uncle Jerry, I guess he's a little under the weather. So we'll get their opinions next week on another topic. But here's how, you know, I mean, I believe, okay, guys, you know me, I'm kind of crazy. But honestly, when I left Hawaii, I thought a Shihan or a 50-degree black belt lived underneath a waterfall in Okinawa, Japan somewhere. I never dreamed I'd meet a 5th-degree or a 4th-degree Yodan or a 6th-degree or a Shishidan or any high Don ranking. But America's kind of gone crazy. It's gone into a syndrome where everybody's going to be a high Don rank or they don't think they're going to be respected. Well, you know, if Don rank is something that you've earned, that something is, you're never given a high Don rank. You've earned it. And it's not so much you have to fight or do self-defense or break boards or do weapons. You have to have knowledge. That's the key word. And authenticity in your lineage. If you have authenticity in your lineage and you have the knowledge to pass on to your students, then your Don rank will follow. So I want to say very openly that I miss Uncle Jerry Smith this week. And, of course, Tom Stelman, we'll see you next week, buddy. And we're going to move right along now. We have a segment that we've had for about 7 months now. It's with Dr. Reginald Lee, an inventor of a virtual reality hologram that attacks you. Now, Dr. Lee is dealing with something very personal tonight. He'll be on next week. So I want to explain to you what SETVR is. Now, SETVR stands for Self-Defense Enhanced Training in Virtual Reality Application. Now, if you don't know what virtual reality is, it's like a program that you see on a computer or on a headset, and you're inside the program. You're not just looking at it. You're inside the program, participating with everything that's inside the program. Now, the PlatVR.app is the Oculus Quest. And now you can get involved with a headset that's not very expensive, but now you get involved with various situations dealing with virtual reality. And SETVR is a good example. It's a hologram that Dr. Reginald Lee and Rick Shanahan have invented that attacks you. Now, what we've done is we're going to create something called the History Journal Portals. This is where you can beat the hologram, get smarter, learn different questions and answers that deals with the martial arts, and eventually work your way into the portals where you walk in and learn everything there is about people like Mike Stone, J. Pat Burleson, I mean, Alan Steen, A.J. Perry, Dean Powell, just name a few. And what we're going to do, we're going to start with a core group, and then every month we'll add a new history journal. So you're going to learn a lot about a lot of people. Now, for more information, you just go to Google. That's right, go to Google, and just type in SETVR.app. And there's a demo that will show you the basis of the History Journal portal, the hologram. We'll actually get to work with it. and the village that we created also. So remember, go to Google and type in SETVR.ATP, and you will miss Dr. Lee this week, but he'll be back next week to explain it more.
Hey, Gary.
Detail. Yeah, AJ.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to work with that when we were in South Carolina, and I had a blast. I didn't want to take it off, and the only reason I took it off because there was a bunch of kids waiting because they wanted to use it. But it's not only a great training aid, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, it's got four great things, AJ. It's got, you know, it's fun, it's a workout, it's educational, and it's going to be progressive. So it really, it does four pieces of the pie, per se, to help a martial artist become proficient. It's very portable, and it's very unique. So, but, you know, thank you for the input, AJ, because like you said, people like old fogies like you don't want to do new things. But you did, and it was really cool, buddy. It really was.
That's part of martial art. You got to try new things.
There you go. There you go. Well, another favorite segment that we love doing is a few years ago, we lost a great fighter named Joe Lewis. But before he passed, he allowed me to adopt this man. And you met him earlier. He was on the sixth. His name is Dean Pyles. He has an alias called the Wolverine. Now, he's like a pit bull. He means what he says what he means, and he can back it up. But every week, we let him off the leash. I kind of take him off the leash and give him 3 minutes with the Wolverine. Now, tonight's topic is kind of like on the line of what we talked about on the sixth. What are the responsibilities of a 9-3 Bible and the Wolverine's attitude? Wolverine, where you at?
I'm right here, sir.
The leash is off, Wolverine. What's the responsibilities of a 9-3 Black Belt or a 10-3 Black Belt?
Well, you know, one, their responsibility, first and foremost, is to point the way or lead the way and set a good example, whether that had been through their upcoming as a competitor or their upcoming as a, you know, everybody don't have to be a competitor, but to showcase your skills, if you've not been a competitor, but you trained, let's say, super competitors or people that were, you know, really made a mark in the martial arts world with their competing or their martial arts skills or some type of dynamic, whether it be in sport combatives, whether it be full contact, things of that nature. But one of the main things is like I say, to set an example. And that example is, one, with making sure that you teach good, proper technique, you point people in the right direction, you try to guide them the best of your ability, not lie to them. And you know, a lot of people, they have to open themselves up and look, because a lot of people will get into the habit of going, well, my system is, you know, the most complete, and it may be, you know, a striking system or a ground fighting system, when in reality, nobody knows the truth to what a fight is and what a fight, the outcome is going to be or what may transpire during the course of that fight. That's why combatants need to be skilled in the stand-up, the clinch phase, and the ground phase, so they know what to do and when to do it in all aspects of a fight. Second of all, a 9th degree, 10th degree black belt should also lead the way by setting an example of being healthy, taking care of their body, showing their students that if they live that martial arts lifestyle and they go by that character DOE, which is way of life or whole heart way, that they execute that and show that. You should take pride in it. You know, samurais always took pride in their appearance. And the way they looked, you didn't see a samurai going around looking disheveled. They always made sure that they had a good appearance. And a 9th, 10th degree black belt should also have that good appearance and lead from the front with that technique and with being in good physical condition, even if they're older. You don't have to be like a bodybuilder when you're older, but you look at Joe Lewis. Even in his final days with cancer, he was still in great physical shape. The cancer was taking a toll on him, but he was still in great physical shape to where most people couldn't set up in the bed with the cancer as bad as it was in their head and shoulder. But he would push himself up and talk to you with that good, stern voice, just like always. That never left. And that leading from the front, even in the face of death, that is what a ninth and tenth degree black belt should be able to do. Show that type of courage to their students, that type of never give up attitude, that type of spirit that they can carry on and that will push their legacy on. And that's one of the main reasons that Joe Louis is still so popular, is because he led from the front. And that's what a ninth and tenth degree black belt should be able to do, lead from the front. And they should be able to not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. And like I've said 1,000 times, doesn't matter about your giant certificates hanging on the wall. It only matters about the skill sets in which you can show and demonstrate and pass forward. And to be able to bring people back and make sure that each little thing they do, you don't give up on the minute technique. You know, one of my biggest pet peeves is people windshield wiper in their hands when they're fighting, throwing their hands back when they sling a kick. And we knock people out religiously because they do that. And, you know, if you're not guarding your face, that's the fault of the instructor to be letting people know, hey, you need to learn how to rotate your hip to put power in that kick and keep your hands in front of your face because your butt can take care of itself. It's nothing back there that's going to knock you out when you get kicked in the keister. So you need to keep your hands up there where your teeth are, where your knockout zones are, so you can defend yourself at all times. Because, you know, back in the day in competing in the NBL, you know, every odd year was groin kicks were legal, you know. And I had some friends of mine that they would do Japanese karate and kempo, and because I had high kicks, I knew they was always going to try to strike me in the groin. So that made me keep my hands to the front, so I had a guard down and a guard up to protect my face and protect my groin. So that's the kind of things you need to pass on to your students.
Wolverine is called Texas Handshake.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well,
exactly.
Your opinion is so important, and I appreciate the Wolverine and your attitude. And God bless Joe. God bless Joe. Rest in peace, Joe. And I appreciate your attitude, Wolverine. And I know you're carrying on his legacy. And I'm very honored that you remember Dewey and I in your weapons competition. When are you going to get back to competition? You going to wait till next year?
Well, you know, obviously competing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We're filming The Coward. We'll be filming into next year some. I'll go back to competing. You know, you don't make a lot of friends if you're competing and winning. And, you know, my grandfather told me you need to make friends. So right now I'm trying to just make some friends, but I will go back to competing. I'm not going to leave it all together. I just don't like to tell people when I'm coming back. I like for things to be a surprise.
Well,
I'm all about
Doma
Pyle, surprise, surprise, surprise stuff. You know.
October 6th and 7th, when we honor Judge Roy Kerbin, I know you're going to be in Cotton Wars. So that's one thing you put on your calendar. October 6th and 7th next year for Judge Roy Kerbin and Cotton Wars. I bet you $1, Dean, A.J. Perry, they'll all be there. So it's pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you, Dean. And now, Eric and Lisa, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I will let Lisa go first because we're running on time, but I want to let you talk about A.J. Perry a little bit. Do you know him very well?
Yes, sir,
I know
I
him
do.
Well enough, sir.
Well, not you, Eric. Let Lisa go first. Then you, Eric. Go ahead, Lisa. You go first.
So Master Perry is just, he's a gentleman who has garnered a lot of respect in regards to the martial arts here in our community, and he's a name that if you say, hey, do you know Grandmaster Perry? Do you know A.J. Perry? Everybody goes, oh, my God, you know him? And everybody wants to be your new best friend. So when it comes down to the name Grandmaster A.J. Perry or even Master Perry, in any way, shape, or form, he's just one of those people that when it comes down to the base qualities, I get to say I know him and you want to know me because I know him. So it's
sure.
kind of a neat little thing.
Thank you,
okay,
Lisa.
Eric, how do you feel about AJ Perry? Keep it short.
Keep it short. Okay, long
well,
story
keep it
short.
Long, Eric. Keep it long.
Very short.
Shut up, AJ. Let him talk.
I've had very few mentors in my life. Yeah, me long, no. Very few mentors in my life. I was blessed about 8 months ago. My grandmaster is Grandmaster James Saffold. I was blessed to have him in my life for many, many years, and he still is my grandmaster. Unbeknownst to me, Grandmaster Perry went behind my back and talked to Grandmaster Saffold. And from according to Mona, Grandmaster Perry's significant other, I found out that he has never done this for anyone. He handpicked me for some reason I still don't understand fully. He chose to mentor me after he found out about the accident. And when I'm healed, if my body allows me and it's God's will that I'm allowed to train physically again, Grandmaster Perry, I am now his student. I have the
okay,
honor of calling him my teacher,
Eric,
and I will forever be grateful.
Eric, if you're his student, is he going to teach you to walk on glass and put nails on his arm too?
I will take any instruction that Grandmaster Perry tells me to do. I will gladly do it, sir.
I do what I want to do. I want to get him to teach me how to walk on glass.
Thank you,
that's funny. Okay. Well,
I am honored. I am honored to have him in my life. I have built a friendship with him over the years at different events for the American Kwan, and I am so humbled and so honored to call him my teacher, and that's all I need.
Amen,
to say
Eric.
Cool.
Amen, Eric.
I'm so glad
you
that you guys got to spend a little time talking about AJ because, you know, I give him a rough time on the show, but I love him to death. He's a good guy. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we've been talking to Mr. Eric Ross and Lisa, help me.
Dyke.
Okay.
Dyke.
And we've had an
Dyke, and that's what you get.
Yes, ma'am. But anyway, thank you guys for being on the show tonight. And if you want to listen to the show or tell people about it, you can go to Google and just type in AMAA Radio. Type in the date and then Professor Gary Lee, and this show will be for your listening pleasure. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for listening to us every Tuesday night. Let us all come in to your home. And as we always say, and we mean it from the heart, much, much mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
aloha.
Gary. Good night.
Good night,
aloha.
Good night.